We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You're listening to BuzzBeat Radio, your premier Charlotte Hornets show.
All right, welcome in. Richie just reminded me, this is episode 63. It's going to be a little shorter tonight, but hey, look, we've got a coach, and we want to talk about it here for just a minute. James Borrego, I'm not going to use my terrible Italian accent to try to say his last name, but he is the new head coach of the Charlotte Hornets, has not been officially announced. Team has not acknowledged it yet, at least not to my knowledge, but there's enough trusty reports out there. Woj had it first today that I think we can finally say this thing is over. It's been a longer process than certainly I anticipated. I think I speak for you guys too, but I'm kind of happy that we've got this behind us now and we can move on to what's going to be a very important summer for the Hornets. Real quick notes, and then I want to get your thoughts, Brian and Richie. Borrego from New Mexico, went to the University of San Diego, pretty much been in the NBA, or actually I think maybe exclusively has been in the NBA during his coaching career. 11 years under Popovich in San Antonio in two different stints, if you will, left to go with Jacques Vaughn when he got hired as the head coach with the Magic in Orlando. That did not go well. Actually, when Vaughn was fired, Borrego took over as the interim head coach, went 10-20 at the end of the season. I think that was 14-15 during that stretch. And, you know, Borrego, there's not a lot out there, to be honest with you. I've read more defensive, attributive, if that's a word, type of pieces on him. But you just kind of know he comes from San Antonio. He's been in that pipeline for a long time. And, you know, he was obviously there with some good draft picks San Antonio made and when they traded for Kawhi Leonard back in 2011. So certainly some feathers in his cap, or at least things he was involved with. Brian, I want to throw it to you first. Number one, hope everything's good with you. You're doing well. And then, you know, your thoughts on Borrego. Number one, does this surprise you? That's what I want to ask you first. And then number two, you know, are there some attributes that you know of with this guy that really get you excited?
Thanks. I'm doing well, man. I'm hanging in there. It was good to spend some time with the family recently. Basketball's been a good distraction piece here. But the first question had to do with, you know, am I surprised by the hire? Was that what it was?
Yeah, exactly. Just to surprise you, and then number two, some attributes of this guy.
So not terribly surprised. Although I guess, as you guys alluded to on episode 62, it did sort of seem like it had come down between Messina and David Fizdale, and then Fizdale got the New York Knicks job, and Messina seems to have just kind of fallen off the face of the earth with some of these other coaching searches recently. But so in that, it's a little bit of a surprise, I suppose, because we thought the Hornets had their final two candidates, and maybe Jerry Stackhouse was a dark horse third guy. Although Spencer, as you alluded to, he's maybe has stronger ties with that Orlando Magic job. But I'm not too surprised. It's probably a cheaper hire, which as opposed to someone like Coach Bud, Mike Budenholzer, or what Steve Clifford could theoretically be for the Milwaukee Bucks, et cetera. You know, a guy that doesn't have a ton of head coaching experience, doesn't have some playoff track record. So a cheaper hire, a younger hire. And I mean, I don't think there's any guarantee the Hornets are going to go the teardown route. But if they did, this seems like it would be the kind of guy that you would bring in and have him perhaps run that new program. You know, as far as I'm curious to see how he works as a player development coach from that standpoint. Obviously, that's going to be a bigger objective for the Hornets going forward. Curtis Polk mentioned it in his interview with the Observer. And you can go back and pull out quotes. It's tough to read too much into these, but stuff from Victor Oladipo in 2015. And obviously, he turned a much more serious corner years later after this. But him speaking highly of Borrego, and you could even see Kyle Anderson speaking about publicly with praise for him on Twitter. So I like him as a guy that he is just 40 years old, which is crazy. And he's been in the NBA for 15 plus years now. Or right around 15 years. So I like that. I like him coming from the Spurs system and just being around lots of great coaches and lots of great players. I mean, he's there for young Kawhi, young George Hill. He's working with Monty Williams in New Orleans. So, no, you know, he's traveled around a little bit. And, again, tons of experience with that sports organization, which is top of the line.
Richie, throw it to you. What are your thoughts here?
Yeah, I mean, like I said in the previous episode, I think I did lean Larinaga, but that might have just been because I had more information on Larinaga than I did Borrego. It seems like there's just not a lot of information on this guy out there. I mean, we know that he's a very young coach, 40 years old, like Brian stated. That's crazy. He's 11 years older than I am, and he's about to be a head coach in the NBA. I think the fact that he does come from the Spurs system makes me feel a little bit better about this hire. It clearly was a theme with all these interviews. You saw all these interviews that the Charlotte Hornets organization had, and feels like 90% of them had some kind of tie to the Spurs coaching tree. I'm interested in seeing how he deals with our roster. I know that being on the Spurs team where you have established players and players that are in a winning franchise, that's going to be a whole lot different than the franchise he's coming into now. I mean, I get that he's also been a part of those younger players with the Magic and stuff like that. But, you know, becoming a head coach with this team and with this roster, it's going to be interesting to see how he handles it. And like Brian said, he might be better suited to deal with a team that kind of tears it down before you work it back up. And, you know, dealing with personalities like Dwight Howard is going to be interesting to see if he's still on the roster come October. But, you know, I really don't know much about him to give an honest opinion about it. So, you know, I'm just kind of hoping that he does well.
Yeah, well, I think that's a good point what you brought up there. And let's probably go around the table here real quick and just talk about, does this indicate maybe another sign for us as to what the next step is going into the summer? You know, does this hire make the possibility of the Hornets trading Kemba Walker and attaching, you know, one of Batum or Dwight Howard to Kemba more of a possibility? I tend to lean towards, well, the reality is I have no idea, but I tend to lean towards the yes, I think so. I mean, I think this is another sign that a rebuild is ahead of us. Brian, do you think this is another sign of that, or is this guy just the best candidate in front of us?
Yeah, I think with that door was thrown wide open when Clifford was let go, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I think as soon as that happened, then the possibility of trading Kemba, which was should have already been an option and probably was going into the trade deadline just a few months ago, gets even pushed further to the front of the list of possible scenarios for the team. And so, again, I already think with the coaching change, that became, again, a bigger objective. And the fact that they didn't go out and get someone like David Fizdale, that's probably, although, I mean, granted, I suppose New York's trying to win right away with him. But seems like maybe less of they'll build a team from the ground up sort mm-hmm. of sort of guy. And, you know, looking at a young guy like Larinaga, who's only, what, 42, and another young guy like Borrego, you know, 40-year-old, it seems like you would maybe think that they're going towards a youth movement, but everything's still open, and it sort of depends on, hey, if they decide they want to move Kemba, then they got to figure out what their price point is. And so they could even decide they want to move Kemba and then they might not get an offer they deem worthy. So, but yeah. I definitely think this makes it seem like it's a bigger possibility. Yes.
Yeah, I would agree. I think we said it perfectly on the last episode in terms of the intentions. I think the intentions are there. You know, having a young coach, to me, lends me to believe that we're going to try to rebuild it from the ground up. But if you intend to trade Kemba, but the value's not there, it doesn't make much sense to actually go ahead with that trade anyway. So both of these, you know, candidates, Borrego and both Larrañaga, were both young. And that got me thinking about, hey, what is the possibility of trading Kemba? And it definitely seems like it's on the higher end, even though I've kind of gone back and forth whether or not I think he's going to be on the roster next year.
Yeah, I think those are both great points. I think, you know, when you look at this summer in the NBA and you consider the reality that there's so few teams with cap space and ability to spend in free agency, but and if you listen to Zach Lowe and Bill, any NBA podcast, you understand that there's a lot of unhappy teams that want to make changes, the Hornets obviously being one of those. And it's interesting to think about how they fit into that, especially hiring a 40-year-old coach who you wouldn't think's expecting to inherit a roster that's just going to win right away here. The trade and shedding salary and moving on from Kemba, and that can come in a lot of different forms for the Hornets. So it really will be interesting to see how it all plays out. But James Borrego, I think you'd be hard-pressed to be disappointed in this. I was a little worried I was going to see Mike Dunlap comparisons with this hire, but I have not seen any of those. That was certainly a head-scratcher of a hire, but this is different. I mean, look, this guy's got a lot of experience in the NBA. Again, over a decade of experience coaching-wise, really not much head coaching, hardly at all, but 11 years in the best organization that we've, Brian, myself, and Richie, since we've been alive, really the best franchise, or certainly in the top three that we've seen in the NBA since then. This guy's been a centerpiece of that. So it's hard not to like this too much. Any closing thoughts from either one of you guys?
I think any Hornet fan shouldn't get overly excited or overly upset with this because we don't know much about this guy. I don't know how anyone could. I do find it interesting. I wonder how often video coordinators translate into being good coaches. I know that Spoelstra started off his career as a video coordinator, and that's what he started off as well with the San Antonio Spurs. So I'm not too high, not too low on this guy. We'll just kind of see how this plays out. I don't know how anyone could be overly excited about this guy not knowing too much about his background.
Yeah, and we don't know what the roster is going to be next year, too. There's a lot of mystery, but he certainly seems to check a few of the boxes that we probably expected going into this coaching search.
I would tell you one thing I wish would happen that won't happen, but I wish it would. Now that we have this guy in place, I would rather them take Borrego and put him at the draft lottery next Tuesday and take Buzz Peterson and send him back to Charlotte because sorry, I just don't want to see Buzz Peterson on TV representing the Charlotte Hornets. I mean, this guy might end up being the best GM in NBA history. Pretty sure that won't happen, but that's going to depress me next Tuesday when I have to see that guy on TV.
It'll look like a fish out of water, you know?
Who?
Like, who? Why?
Oh, yeah. MJ's his roommate. Okay, that guy, of course.
Right.
Like, let's send that message. That's what we want to send.
We weren't sure what the middling SEC basketball coach from 20 years ago was doing in the lottery room. But now, we connected the dot really easily there.
Oh, man. You can't make this stuff up. I mean, George just can't get out of his own way from a PR perspective. I mean, let's put his college roommate on TV. But whatever. That's another conversation for another day. Boys, anything else? Richie, Brian, I leave anything out here?
Well, happy birthday, Kemba Walker.
Oh, that's true. Good point.
The captain, man.
So this is his birthday gift right here.
Yeah. Even if he never gets to play under this guy.
for whatever it's worth, I did. I mean, Kemba's not. I hate that I even did this route, but Kemba's not the most active on social media. But it doesn't appear nothing from Twitter, and it's not like he liked anything on Insta. You know, it seems like he's been quiet in terms of like public messages since this hire came out. So,
but like Spencer said, it's not technically official, right? I mean, so like, what could he comment on if there's nothing actually officially out there on the Hornets? Yeah, I don't know.
That's a good point.
James Borrego, new head coach of the Charlotte Hornets. So we'll be back. I'm not sure when. We all need to talk about that. There's really not whole lot to discuss between now and really the draft lottery. So we'll probably be back with our next episode after the draft lottery. Mm-hmm. And my instinct is that we'll be talking to prospects at that point, because you never know. Maybe Buzz Peterson brings us the luck we've been waiting on and the Charlotte Hornets fall into the top three. So, well, it'll be a different conversation if that happens.
Well, just one other thing real quickly, you know, we'll have to see once the hire does become official, seeing how he fills out his staff.
Good point.
You know, does he bring anyone from San Antonio, that sort of stuff? Does he bring anybody from New Orleans or Orlando or wherever? Just we'll have to keep an eye on, again, when this becomes official, what his staff looks like too.
That's a great point. I'm really glad you brought that up, because the Hornets did interview for this position two other San Antonio assistants, among other people that were like, okay. So those could have been assistant interviews. That's a really good point. I'm glad you brought that up. All right, cool. Brian, thanks for jumping on with us, man. We'll talk to you here soon. Sports Channel 8, folks, don't forget about that. Follow them at Sports Channel 8 on Twitter, queencityhoops.com. Andy Moore, he's at Pastor Andy Moore on Twitter, wrote a story about this hire today. Go check that out on queencityhoops.com. And like I said, we'll probably be back with our next episode after the draft lottery, which is next Tuesday night, I think right before whatever playoff game is that night. So anyways, we'll be back after that. Take care, everybody.